What's the biggest misconception about wildlife filmmaking that people never get to see on screen?
I think people have this idea that you just, you know, when you're making wildlife documentaries, you just prance around the world having all these lovely magical encounters. The reality is that's like less than 1% of the job, sadly. I wish it was more. 99% of the time is problem solving and waiting and being uncomfortable and bored. But that 1% makes it all worth it.
Yeah, I remember in the shark documentary when you're sitting there on the boat and you're describing it, just how like bored and frustrated you are, and it's like the, what was it, the meme where it's like, what,
well,
my mom
meme.
Thinks I do,
yeah.
What I actually do, and it's just you waiting there for the great whites to show up.
Exactly, yeah. And I think the other misconception is that to make wildlife documentaries, you need to be patient. I'm such an impatient person. I think far more important are two other P's, passion and persistence. I think that those two skills are what makes you good at filming wildlife.
Yeah, 100%. And I looked at your blog from 2015 and 2016 onwards, and that passion's definitely been there for that long.
God, what are you? I must have written.
It's really good. No, but for any aspiring wildlife filmmakers, they should check your blog out, because you can see the progression and the opportunities that you made yourself. And what I was going to ask is, what advice would you have for young people who want to make their own opportunities but don't know where to start with it?
As I said, go make films. And I find a film that someone's made about the pigeons down the road from where they live far more impressive than someone that has gone to the Masai Mara to photograph lions. Not there are, of course, amazing ways to film those lions in new ways. And if you've hustled a cool opportunity, then great, do that. So I would say, yeah, make films about something that is close, not necessarily close to you. Make films about somewhere that you can make your local patch. And obviously, most easily, that is down the road from you. But yeah, if you can hustle some cool opportunity to, like when I was at university, I used to live in the basement of a wildlife guide on Vancouver Island. He'd look after me, make sure I didn't get eaten. And then I'd take pictures for him. And then in return, I got to go out and see all these amazing animals and learn from him. And yeah, that was like a cool opportunity that I hustled. But I guess my point is, because I was there for a long time, I did 2-3 month windows. I made that place my local patch. That's what you need to do to get like cool animal behavior, is spend so much time in a place that you know every corner of it. You start to be able to predict the animals and what they, that's really key to getting cool stuff.
Yeah. When you were on probably the many times you've been on a platform in a tree, one of the previous shows, you said that you'd rather stay in one location for many months rather than hopping to different ones. Is that the reason? So you can observe the animals and know their behavioral patterns.
Totally. Yeah. You want to get to know them. It's just, if you were trying to make a film about people, like the best way to do that is yeah, maybe become friends with them, hang out with them. Yeah. Hopping around is a very different style of making films, and not one that I'm very good at.
Yeah.
I also hate traveling. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Like getting to the airports with loading bags, and I like getting to a place and yeah,
hungering down. Yeah. Speaking of when you went to Vancouver Island, Steve Winter told me that you also went to a rainforest and did something similar. Is that correct, or was he getting it mixed up?
Yeah, no, he's right. So yeah, between my second and final year at university, I wanted to photograph in jungles. How did that actually come about the first time? I was approached by a bird watching magazine that said, will you come on this trip and like photograph, yeah, such different birds. They were trying to promote, it was like a tourism trip. They were trying to promote tourism to Manu National Park in Peru. It's part of Peruvian Amazon. And yeah, amazing opportunity, very cool. I don't know how they found me, but it must have been through social media or something. So I went on that, made all the contacts, and then was like, okay, now I can come back. And it was like a 10-day trip or something. We were hopping between loads of places, traveling lots. So yeah, I was like, how do I make this my patch? Met all these cool wildlife guides and the lodges and stuff out there, the tourism operators, and then said, right, following summer, I want to come for like 4 months. Can you put me up in your hotel? And in your hotel, very exaggerated. Fancy tent, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look after me, come my logistics and stuff, and I'll take pictures for you. So I did that, and I hopped between all these different places. And I was a student, didn't have money to pay what tourists have to pay to do that. So yeah, it was a way to hustle to move between the places. And actually, I didn't tell, there was like 4 lodges that I worked with. I didn't tell each lodge about the other lodges because I wanted them to feel special.
Smart.
So yeah, when it came to leaving day, they were like, oh, so you're going back to the city? I was like, no, I'm just going to hitchhike downriver. And that went really badly a couple of times. But yeah, got there in the end. But yeah, long-winded way of saying, make opportunities and make places your local patch. So that's how you get good stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool that you're able to do that as a student and be that resourceful. And am I correct in saying that you also got a first as a student and your practical, what was it? You got the best, you were the best in the class at something to do with your...
Yeah, complete nerd. I think I got the best science student or something. Yeah, loser.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thing of like persistence and working hard. I don't think I was far from the cleverest person in my year, but I probably worked one of the hardest, and that's why the stuff that I happen to be good at, it's because I work hard, not necessarily because I'm naturally particularly good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's like an important lesson that I've learned is just try really hard. Mm-hmm. So you get good at stuff.
So were you working really hard on your course and then also balancing that with trying to go out as much as possible with the camera?
Yeah. The whole time I was at uni, I was trying to photograph wildlife in my free time. And I remember me and my best buddy, Matt, every Sunday morning, we would go get up at 4 in the morning and go wander around the back streets of Bristol trying to photograph foxes. And we did it on Sunday mornings because that's when it was really quiet and you'd always get the best behavior. But we did that for, I don't know, like the whole of the, we did it pretty much the whole time we were at uni. We were like religiously up at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. How many students do you know that did that?
Not
yeah,
a lot.
So exactly. Yeah. So yeah, if you want something, go do it. And especially if you're like doing a course, like you're this amazing time where you don't have the pressure of life. So if you are a uni or wherever, like use that opportunity to like experiment and make mistakes, because as soon as you graduate, like a lot of my friends were just like, life has now hit me. Whereas I had almost a 3-year head start because I've been thinking about that since day one.
Yeah. So did you have that almost your blueprint or journey as mapped out as you could be? Did you always think I don't want to do a 9-to-5 office job?
Oh, that's never even entered my brain. Yeah, no, I've always wanted to. I grew up watching the David Attenborough documentaries. I always thought that's something I want to do. I'm going to figure out how to do that. Yeah, I think it's changed a lot, but I remember when I was at school, like doing like getting a proper job, in quotes, was what you were told to do. And the idea of doing a job that was your passion was a bit more like waffly and artsy. Whereas now I think that's really changed culturally with the creator economy and loads of stuff. So I think that's changed for the better. But yeah, I'd say it doesn't have to be wildlife film. Yeah, if you're fortunate enough to be in a position where you can choose what you do, choose to do something that you love and you're passionate about, because you've got to work like a lot of your life. So you may as well make it something that you enjoy. And it also means you'll be good at it.
Yeah, 100%. We spend 50% of our time awake working. You better make the most of it.
Totally.
Yeah. And what's the best advice you've been given from the greats like Paul Nicklin, Steve Winter and Attenborough that you still use today? What advice has stuck with you?
The big thing I learned from Steve was it's all about persistence. That is the key. Be passionate, sure, but be persistent. Like, you look at his most iconic pictures, is one of the, I'm in LA right now, just down the road from here, he shot iconic picture of a mountain lion P-22 in front of the Hollywood sign. That was a camera shot. He's setting up and maintaining his cameras for 13 months before P-22, that was the name of that mountain lion, walked past the cameras. One of the flashes didn't go off. 13 months, you wait for that cat to walk past the camera and the camera fails. So he's like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. And he got everything working again. And then after 15 months, the cat walked past and he got that iconic picture. Like, people say, oh, I'm such a lucky photo. There is no luck involved in like maintaining a camera for 15 months. Yeah, that's persistence.
Yeah.
I
didn't realize that the Hollywood lights aren't on. So in that photo, you can see the Hollywood sign. And is that from the flash that he used?
No, so the cat is lit up by the flashes. The Hollywood sign, it's a long exposure. So I think it's like a four-second exposure, 2-second exposure. So it's really cleverly lit because it's with the 4-second exposure, that foreground where the cat is, you've got real ghosting problems because like you fire those flashes and then obviously the shutter is open for the rest of that time. So the cat's then going to have this weird streak behind it. So he chose a place where the foreground was really dark. There's very little ambient light, which means you can have a long shutter speed. Your flashes will be the only thing that illuminates the foreground. So you can freeze the cat. And then, yeah, that long shutter means you get some light in the sky. And yeah, it's the light of the city. There might be a bit of moon as well, but the light of the city lighting up the Hollywood sign in the background.
Yeah, so good. And what mistakes do you see people commonly make when they're networking?